You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, learn, serve, and grow together in God's love. You can join us Sunday mornings for contemporary worship at 9 a.m. or for traditional worship at 11 a.m. During the summer, we meet for worship at 9:30 a.m. For more information, you can visit us online at covenantmadison.org.
Today's scripture reading is a story that many of us have known since childhood, the story of the baby Moses. What we don't often perceive, though, as young children, is how scary the times were and what faith and courage was shown by his mother. The background is that of a murderous Pharaoh who had forgotten the story of his ancestors, who had welcomed Joseph and his Hebrew family in a time of famine. Instead, this Pharaoh enslaved them and sought to eliminate all the babies born male. Hear this reading from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him, plastered with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of the Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and while her attendants walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. And then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child, nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. And when the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, who took him as her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." May the Lord bless this reading to our understanding and our use. In late March, a seminary classmate of mine, Jim, posted on Facebook, "Today, our granddaughter is turning 6 years old. We planned to be with her in California to celebrate, but that obviously became impossible. Nor will she be able to have a party with her friends, and what six-year-old doesn't want a party? Nevertheless, her wonderful parents and her big brother will celebrate with her. We'll join them on FaceTime. There will be cake and balloons and presents. All things considered, our family is still fortunate, safe, and happy. Sure, we're inconvenienced. We wonder when we will see one another. We might even be a little frightened, but we're okay for now. We know that others are struggling much more than we are. We do not forget them." Jim then mused about all the bad stories that he was tempted to rail on about, ineptitude and disrespect, not to mention the devastating reality of the virus itself. But then he sought to think of the good ones, good stories, like the neighbor that was shopping for the elderly in their neighborhood. He continued, "I'm grateful for these good stories and more. I hope we will all keep telling them to one another as an act of resistance, survival, and hope." But today, he writes, it's a six-year-old who's most on my mind. We can't protect her from the bad stories as she grows. We can hope she will encounter at least an equal number of good stories. At times like this, I'm drawn to the account of how Jochebed, Moses' mother, put him in a basket and set him afloat in the Nile to protect him from Pharaoh's murderous soldiers. What courage it takes to give our children over to the uncertain currents of history, of human failing, and yes, of human kindness. The story of Jochebed placing Moses in the Nile, well, she has no name in the passage we heard today. We find it out a few chapters later in a recitation of genealogy. But it's Jochebed who saved the life of her son by letting him go. We know that this story of the baby Moses is just the beginning of a story that reminds us that our God is a God who is with us in the midst of pain and suffering, a God whose very presence enables us to overcome our fear, who enables us to live the message, "Do not be afraid." Today's story is the start of the story of Exodus, that foundational story of Hebrew scripture, of the Old Testament. It informs our Easter story of God's saving work and of Christ's resurrection. The Exodus is a good story of God's intervention in history through the lives and actions of people who have faith and who trust in God. A good story of God acting through the lives and the actions of people that move through their fear and exhibit great courage. We've been seeing all kinds of courage, of triumph over fear, of large and small acts, some silly, some incredibly profound. There are the good stories that emerge in the midst of the bad, the good stories that remind us that God is with us. So many of the little ones are about overcoming fear of technology, getting beyond the "I've never done it this way" to learn new things. An 85-year-old, now alone in her apartment, who has learned to use an iPad, is coached through the steps by her grandchildren, so now they regularly FaceTime. They are the amazing stories of the courage of health workers, from nurses and doctors to emergency room receptionists and ICU janitors, who go to work day after day and night after night, working through their own fear to care for the sickest among us. And sadly, as the efforts that are the best we have at the moment for protecting us all, social distancing and hand washing, staying home, wearing masks, all those have become mixed up in the culture wars of our time, leading to attacks on employees doing their jobs at doorways of stores. But there are good stories, as guards and clerks keep doing their job, and others don their face mask and keep their distance. Amid the bad stories, there are good stories around us. We rejoice in the good ones. We tell them because they're the ones of resistance against that which would kill. The acts we do, big and little, strengthen us and strengthen others. Good stories of compassion, of grace, of trust in God, and trust in one another. But we're entering a tough time now, a time dubbed quarantine fatigue. We're tired of being alone, and some of us are tired of never being alone. We are longing to expand our in-the-flesh social network. Some of us are bone tired from the daily battle with the virus in hospitals and our own bodies, from the battle of trying just to keep things going for others. We're fearful of economic collapse. We want to go back to normal. And so it was with the Hebrew people in the story of Exodus. We know that Moses grew and led the people from slavery to freedom. We have the story of the Passover, of the victorious crossing of the Red Sea, the giving of the Ten Commandments. But what follows next is less well known, a part of the story that's often called the rebellion in the wilderness. Days, weeks after crossing the Red Sea, the people grew weary of desert living. Oh, to go back to Egypt. They had meat, to eat there. They forgot what they had fled, slavery and death. They forgot about God's presence as they ran from Pharaoh's army. They forgot the good stories, and they lost trust because they forgot the stories of God's presence and then wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Our challenge as we now wander in this wilderness time is to remember that God has been and continues to be with us. We need to keep telling the good stories so not to be weighed down by the bad. We need to recount God's historical presence to hold on to the deep, abiding trust we have in God. I ask you to think of good stories, stories of courage, stories of trust, the ones that remind us that God is with us. List them. Tell them. You know, some of our stories will be sweet, like the child that is coloring a picture to be sent to the great aunt without internet access. Some are amazing, like the river food pantry responding to a surge of new households seeking help, only to be matched by a surge in the number of new volunteers coming to help. People are moving ahead, trusting in the very presence of God to sustain us and empower us. And so we tell the stories for the sake of the six-year-olds having birthdays and for the over 60-year-olds having to admit we're in that category of vulnerable. We tell the stories for all of us of every age, all of us who have been given over to this stream of history. We tell them and we hear them because they remind us we are not afraid, for God is with us. God is with us today, tomorrow, and into all eternity. Thanks be to God. Amen.